The scripture today is Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
What a great scripture passage as we think about gratitude, the week of Thanksgiving. I wonder if you'd bow your heads for a word of prayer at this time. Lord, help us to focus our minds and hearts. Undoubtedly, there are things happening around us as this is listened to. And so I pray that all the distractions could be set aside. The books could be closed. The screens could be closed. And Lord, I pray that people wouldn't focus on me. I pray that they would open their hearts to you, that your Holy Spirit could speak to them. Because there is a word in this sermon that I believe you want them to hear. And so I'd ask you, Lord, to help us dedicate our hearts and minds to that task at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving is a long custom in the United States. And one place that we pick up that custom is on October the 3rd, 1863. There is a violent civil war that is raging in the nation. And President Lincoln is in conversation with his Secretary of State, Stuart, and the two of them are having a conversation, and as a result of those conversations, a proclamation for the day of Thanksgiving, praise, and prayer was issued by Abraham Lincoln. In the proclamation, Lincoln acknowledges the injury and the casualty of the Civil War. It would be disingenuous for him not to. But at the same time, in a very detailed fashion, he lists the many blessings that the nation enjoys. The expansion of its borders, the security therein, even as he acknowledges that the citizens of the country have been dramatically impacted and negatively impacted by the war itself. And in part, he states these words: "They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise for our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Lincoln finished his proclamation by calling for prayers of repentance, calling for prayers of petition for those who had been rendered as widows and orphans by the effect of the war. And so we have this week of thanksgiving, not just in those days, but in our own. We have this time of thanksgiving, not despite our circumstances, but because of our circumstances, a time to pause, pick up the attitude and the acts of gratitude, and to enter into a day of thanksgiving and praise to God for the blessings that we enjoy. And don't we enjoy many, many blessings? It's important for us to see the way that Lincoln focused the mind of the nation and the minds of all of the nation's citizens. Because what he knew is that the mental agility gratitude would provide was something they most needed in a difficult time. Lincoln sensed then what we know as fact today. Thanksgiving and gratitude are powerful forces, and we are well served to unleash them in our lives. You see, in our time, the studies have been done and the results are in. Now, today, I want you to think about the gospel lesson. And in the gospel lesson, Jesus comes across 10 men who suffer from leprosy. They shouted their request to Jesus. They stood at a distance, which they were required to do by law, because they understood that leprosy was a communicable disease. And as they stood at a distance, they called to Jesus and they said, "Please heal us." Apparently, they knew who Jesus was. They knew he had the capacity to heal them. And they asked him to make it so. Jesus looked at them and said, "Go to the priest, show yourself, and let them pronounce you clean." The men did so. They went to the priests. They showed themselves. And where leprosy had once covered their skin, now they were clean. Now they were free of the scars. And because they were free, the priest pronounced them formally clean. Now, that was a sentence to life. Those men could now go and hug their spouse. They could hug their children. They could restart their jobs. Those men could, rather than shouting at friends from a distance, walk up and greet them personally. Jesus gave them community, and he gave them their life back. And so it was in a powerful moment to see 10 men cleansed all at once, such a great miracle. And then the Bible tells us, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Now, I was studying this scripture this past week, and I read those words. One of the men, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And I was making my notes about the text, reflecting on that. Before I had opened a commentary, before I had done a deeper dive into the meaning of the words, I just took it at face value and I wrote this note to myself. I want to be the one. I want to be the one who gives thanks to God. Jesus noted the contrast between the one who did and the nine who didn't. Were not all 10 cleansed, Jesus said? And where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Now, especially as our nation declares a national holiday called Thanksgiving, I want to be the one who actually gives praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to God. I don't want to just go through a day. I want to enjoy the practice which has such a powerful effect in a human life. I want to be the one who gives praise and thanks rather than the one who goes about their business with little expression of gratitude for all that surrounds them. Because friends, aren't our blessings all around us? Look around you right now, no matter where you are. Look around you right now. If you're in your home, just look at the pictures that surround you. If you're in a car listening to this on a podcast, just look out the windshield. Look at the other cars, but look beyond them as well. Look at the beauty of the sky. Look at the surroundings, the countryside that you're in. Our blessings surround us everywhere we go. And it's easy. It is easy, in spite of all that, to join the chorus of the complaining. It's easy to fail to notice the blessings of life, but I want to be the one who remembers the blessing of family and friends, the blessings of all the members of our church. I want to be the one who remembers colleagues and the good they do. I want to remember people who serve other people that I run into when sometimes I'm in a hospital, or when I'm seeing somebody in a military uniform walk past, or when I see the clerk at the grocery store doing their job. I want to be the one who remembers the good things I depend on, the home that has a roof over my head and a bed on which I lie. I want to remember to be the one who gives thanks for my work, the one who sits in a car and just thinks, isn't it amazing? I can go from place to place this freely. I want to be the one who sometimes pulls up old pictures of places I've been and remembers the stories of those occasions, the trips I've taken, the things I've done, the people I've been with. I want to be that one. And here's what I bet. I bet you do too. I bet you want to be the one at Thanksgiving who actually gives thanks. I think it's especially important to remember how Jesus once called us to be like children. You know, I'd like to be the one who's like the child kneeling by their bedtime, learning to pray, and a diligent parent next to them who's teaching them just to say their prayers every night. Perhaps when your children were little, if you've got kids, maybe you remember doing this as a child. And that parent says, now just say the names of those that you want to thank God for. And the child says, I want to thank God for mommy and daddy, for my grandparents, for brother and sister. Then they name their friends. maybe some family pets. And there's something sacred about the prayer of a child who honestly shows gratitude. And I bet you want to be that one too. The one who remembers, the one who thanks, the one who has gratitude not just in a word on the lip, but deep in the heart, where it's a disposition to how you live, to how you treat others. I want to be the one whose heart is filled with the melody of that old hymn that proclaims, "For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of gracious praise, of grateful praise." I want to be the one who gets the words right, but I want to be the one that sings them even if I don't get them all right. I want to be the one because studies are complete and the data is in, friends. Gratitude is just good for you. The discipline of gratitude makes a dramatic difference in a human life. And here's what it does. And this is an article I read in Forbes. It opens up the doors of a relationship. In other words, people are more likely to want to be your friend and be in your family because you're a grateful person, not just once a year, but as a disposition. It improves physical and psychological health. Gratitude enhances empathy and it reduces aggression. A 2012 study at the University of Kentucky showed that participants who ranked higher on a gratitude scale were far less likely to retaliate against others, even when they were given negative feedback. These people experienced more sensitivity, more empathy toward other people, and they had a decreased desire to seek revenge. That's what gratitude does when it's a practice of your life. Grateful people sleep better. Friends, are you hearing me now? When you're more grateful, you sleep better. Gratitude improves self-esteem and increases mental strength, resilience, and the ability to overcome trauma. A 2006 study in a journal found that that Vietnam War veterans, when they had a practice of daily gratitude, were far better able to show the emotional resilience that enabled them to combat the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. Even in people who have severe stress, severe experiences of trauma, gratitude matters. What if you and I were the ones who made gratitude a disposition of life, a way of being, a way of seeing our lives, the people in our lives, our family members, our friends? What if you and I went about our day giving thanks? Well, it's not always easy because not every year is a year that it's easy to give thanks in. And 1863 was probably not a great year to stand up and say, "Wow, this is a great year." And yet the president called the people to do this act of thanksgiving, to offer these prayers of petition and from the prayers of gratitude to offer the prayers of intercession for others who had lost so much. I want to be the one who sees the blessings of life as gifts I receive rather than entitlements that I clench. It's such a difference. It's such a different way of looking at life when you see blessings as the gifts I joyfully receive, not entitlements that I'm holding on to. Now, you may be asked, "Tom, why was that one guy grateful?" I bet you saw the clue, didn't you? I bet you heard it. It's right there in verse 16. Take a look at it again. "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." I put that in boldface for you because I think that's the difference maker in this account. This man was a Samaritan. The other nine were all Jewish, and perhaps they thought, "You know what, it's high time God did heal us. I mean, we didn't do anything to deserve this, and we are God's people. Why wouldn't God heal us? And Jesus, you're Jewish, and we're Jewish, so get to work." But the man who was a Samaritan didn't think that way. The man, and I don't know if the nine thought that way, but Sometimes I think that way. Don't you? I mean, sometimes when something bad happens in my life or for a member of my family, I think, you know what, God, you're not on your game here. I sometimes have entitlement thinking around the blessings of life that are really gifts. This man who was a Samaritan didn't think that way at all. When he went to the priest and when the priest declared him clean, he probably didn't have to do that. He just looked at his skin and he knew he was healed. But he ran back to Jesus and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he gave thanks, and he did so because the Samaritan knew he was different. He didn't worship God in Jerusalem in the temple. The people of Samaria lived north of there. They had a different way of understanding God. They had been assimilated by the Assyrian Empire hundreds of years earlier. They were a different culture. They were by that time a different race. And there was enmity. There was strife between Jewish people and Samaritans. And so he knew Jesus didn't have to heal him. Jesus could have healed the other nine and left him alone. And so this man, in his healing, realized something. God sees me. God cares about me. God cares about the burdens I carry. The Samaritan knew that his healing was an unexpected blessing. The unexpected blessing. He returned to give thanks. He celebrated the good that had come into his life. And friends, I want to be the one who feels the joy of celebration rather than the grudging yoke of entitlement. I want to say that again. I want to feel the joy of celebration rather than the grudging yoke of entitlement, where I think everything that is good in my life I deserved, earn, or is my due. Because when I get into that zone, do you know what happens? I just don't see things. I don't see the beauty of the fall leaves and the autumn as they change into the gorgeous colors. I don't notice the low-flying cloud that lights up the sky. I don't notice the beauty of the stars at night. I don't notice the beauty of the people around me. Gratitude opens us up to the experience of the sacred. Gratitude is what takes your breath away. When you look at children or older people, it's what takes your breath away when you see a beautiful vista on a mountain, or sometimes avoid an accident and think, oh, thank goodness. Gratitude makes all the difference. There is a bliss, there is an elation that is found when we experience the blessings of life as unexpected. Unexpected rather than anticipated, due. Because the unsurprising is never something we celebrate. But when we see good things as unexpected, it does something in our hearts. It just lifts our spirits, and we begin to think to ourselves, wow, look what is happening to me today. I want to show you a video where this actually happens right before your eyes. Okay, this thing I just described, how the sacred comes into your life, is going to be on the video I'm going to show you. Now, let me do a little setup. The man in the video is 80 years old. He is a maestro. His name is Carlos Martins. He was a child prodigy. He was a concert pianist. And then there was an injury when he was playing soccer one day as a younger man. And then there was another injury years later where he was attacked and robbed, and he was hit in the head with an iron pipe. And he had 24 surgeries to try to recover from these and from the problems that he was having. His problem was he didn't have the ability, once he pushed his fingers down the keys, he couldn't lift his fingers up again. And so, for many years, his piano went silent. And he just missed it. He still worked in music. He became a conductor. But his beloved piano remained silent. Years went by, year upon year, but something good happened. The science of motion and physical therapy increased. And so, recently, this man was fitted with two bionic gloves, which when he presses his hands down on the keys, lift his fingers back up. That's what the gloves do. So you'll see he's wearing some neoprene gloves, and that is what their function. Now, look at his face As the video plays, I want you to look at his face and I want you to listen to the beauty of the music the first time he played Bach again. Friends, those are tears of gratitude. That's the look of thanksgiving. But when you looked at his face, did you see it was a sacred moment? It was, in many ways, a religious experience. Why? Because he felt the goodness of God. He felt the miracle of being able to play that again. And I want to be the one who's like the man cured from leprosy, who comes back and who gives thanks to God, even in moments where I don't receive a miracle. But I especially want to be the one who gives thanks when the miracles happen around me. And again, I think you do too. I think that's what you're longing to be and do. I want to be the one with thanksgiving because I want the motivation that thanksgiving offers. I want to have the eyes of Jesus, who saw this man not as a Samaritan, not as the other, but as a fellow human being, as one to be cared for, one to be concerned about. I want to have that motivation of the heart that Jesus had that leads us to be so grateful about all that God has given us that we want to then extend blessings to other people as we go from place to place and person to person. I want to be the person that walks down the street and picks up the trash. Not because I have to or because those lousy other people do this or that. No. I want to pick it up because I want to see the beauty of the grass without the trash and be grateful for it and know that I'm humble enough. I'm not above picking it up. You know, many people, when they talk about Jesus, they almost make Jesus sound in the Gospels like he was stern or above others or even reproachful to the people around him. But friends, I think they've got it all wrong. I think that Jesus' character was full of gratitude and full of thanksgiving. And that's why Jesus had eyes that could see the needs of others, and he had a heart that motivated his hands and his feet to go to them and to bless them. And I want to be the one who's like that. And I bet you do too. In some ways, we already are. But in some ways, we still have a distance to go if you're like me. Jesus' kindness to others, what he noticed about others, the interactions he had with others, that gratitude and thanksgiving is what gave him eyes to see and a heart that longed to respond. Like the man in the story, I want to be the one who saw he was healed, came back, praised God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. So take time for Thanksgiving on Thursday, by all means. And friends, just because we eat Thanksgiving dinner doesn't mean we've done Thanksgiving. So be one of those people that creates the awkward moment. If your family doesn't have a tradition or the people that you're going to see at Thanksgiving, I bet it's going to be a smaller number. It won't maybe necessarily be the same, or maybe it will because those people you'll see by Zoom or some other means. But however you do it, take a moment and ask the people around you, could everybody list two or three things for which you're grateful? If your family's together, maybe you could put up a piece of paper or multiple pieces of paper and have people during the day just write down things they're grateful for and then read them at the Thanksgiving dinner. Have some formal practice of Thanksgiving this year. but then embrace gratitude as a daily experience, a daily discipline, a daily practice, and see how it transforms your nature and your character. I guarantee you, you will gain eyes to see, you will gain a heart that longs to bless others. I invite you to be the one who gives thanks at Thanksgiving. I invite you to be the one who makes your praise a season and a way of life. And then the words of another great hymn, "Let all things now living," will not only flow from your lips, it'll rise out of your heart as a disposition of your character. For we too should be voicing our love and rejoicing. With glad adoration, a song let us raise, till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna and praise. Amen. Let it be so among me and you and all of us. Amen.